Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
We are privileged, are we not, to have in our hands, at least I hope we have in our hands, the Word of God. It's inspired, that is, it comes from the very heart and mind of God. It's inerrant. We can read it with absolute confidence, knowing that what we are reading is God's mind for us. And we are privileged that we hold in our hand, in our mother tongue, the Word of God. It's when I say we've nothing else, that's not to demean the Word. It is to say that it's only by the Word of God that we have come to a knowledge of Christ. If we had not the Word of God, we would have a skewed understanding of God. We would see in creation and in the universe something of his creatorial power, and we would just tremble before such a God. But God has revealed himself to us in his Word, particularly in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to just think about that for a bit. Having said that, the importance of the Word of God, and it is, I'm going to read half a verse. And I say this betimes, that some gospel preachers say, if you don't have a Bible, don't worry. No, if you don't have a Bible, do worry. It's the only means whereby we can know salvation. But if you don't have a Bible with you, you can just turn your head to the my left, your right of the hall, for the verse that I have upon my mind is written there in large. Now, last week, if you were here, Brother David Weir spoke on this verse that I'm going to speak on, and he had other verses too. I'm going to limit myself to this half of the verse, and I want us to understand it. I'm only reading half a verse because I want it to be imprinted on your heart and on your mind. And when you lay your head on your pillow this evening, I want it to come into your heart, into your mind, and I want you to ponder it, and I want you to think about what God is saying to us. It's there. Mark's Gospel in chapter 1 and verse 15. Mark's Gospel, easy to find, New Testament, Matthew, Mark, first chapter, verse 15. Second half of the verse says, repent ye and believe the gospel. It's there. Repent ye and believe the gospel. I have a great concern about the preaching of the gospel. I think we assume too much. I was speaking to a friend just a couple of months ago, and he said that at the church that he went to, the gospel hall he went to, a lady who had been coming for some time to the services asked for baptism. Now, I'm sure, just as we were when Andrew asked for baptism, I'm sure we were all delighted to hear that, and I'm sure they were delighted too. So they said, well, we'll just have to have a little meeting with you, a little interview with you, just to cross T's and dot the I's, and that was fine. So, first question, when did you become a Christian? Oh, she says, I've always been a Christian. And the good folk there says, well, what we're trying to say is, when did you become a Christian? Oh, she says, I've always been a Christian. I'm sure Andrew didn't give these answers to the questions that were asked of him. But just wait a minute. We assume that the lady was of some intelligence. She was listening to gospel preacher after gospel preacher, Sunday by Sunday, and she hadn't really grasped what a Christian was and what it meant to believe. And I have a great fear of that. Sometimes we can say things and the pathway between me speaking and you understanding, not necessarily accepting, but understanding, is quite a long one. I could stand here and if I were able, I could speak in a foreign language and you wouldn't be able to understand me. Or I might mumble. Yes, I'd say, well, you're doing that already. And you might not be able to hear what I'm saying. I might talk in some sort of technical language or biblical language and such that you wouldn't really understand. Even if you heard the words, you wouldn't really be able to understand what I said. You might not listen. You know, it's quite amazing. You all look intelligent people, but your mind might be elsewhere. What's for dinner tonight? What am I doing tomorrow? And you're looking as if you're really listening to what I'm saying. And it might be you're not. And it might be that I use language which is just beyond. And I want you to accept the gospel. But I certainly want you to understand the gospel. That what we say is for your eternal benefit. Think of that for a moment. You could be eternally blessed this evening by a simple act of faith in your part in coming to God for salvation. Now, the version that we have in our hand, which I assume we all possibly have, is the good old King James Version. And that was written over 400 years ago, 1611, it was translated. And it stood the test of time pretty well. But there are words which we perhaps met, the change of meaning has happened, and the words that are there perhaps are not quite so well understood, or they might have changed their meaning. I'm thinking of certain words which have sort of changed. Meekness, for instance. You look at the dictionary of the meaning of meekness, you would certainly not want to be meek. But it's not the Bible definition of meekness. And I want to look at the words that are there. Repent ye and believe the gospel. There's actually a word missing from the original. And we'll just maybe touch on that if I remember and if we've time. Repent. What do we understand by repent? Well, I went to the dictionary. And the dictionary says it's to feel regret or remorse, or to change one's mind. Is that what the Bible is saying? We have to feel regret or feel remorse. That's kind of like being saying, I'm sorry, doesn't it? Sometimes that saying sorry doesn't really carry much weight. It's just a get out of jail card that we do to try and allay somebody's suspicions of us or criticism of us, I'm sorry, doesn't really mean very much. I looked up the word believe, repent ye and believe the gospel. And it says there to consider to be true or honest, or to accept the word or evidence. Well, we're kind of halfway there by these dictionary meanings, but I would just like to see what the Bible would teach on these words. Gospel. Well, dictionary meaning is one of the first four New Testament books telling of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, that's right. We've read the Gospel according to Mark. And then it says, the message concerning Christ, the kingdom of God, and salvation. Well, that's pretty good. Quite like that. So we come back to this repentance business, and we see that it's something which is different from our regret or remorse or sorry. It's not a passive thing, this repentance. And we don't hear the word. You know, we don't go around repenting, do we, to people or to about our actions or so on. And we maybe should, but we don't use that term these days. But I looked up one of the Bible commentators, and he says this: it's conduct worthy of a heart changed and abhorring sin. expresses mental direction. The termini from which we come and to which we go may be specified from sin to Christ. I've said the word, haven't I? Sin. What is sin? Well, the dictionary meaning of sin. Listen to this. This is from the Merriam-Webster, an American, as you would expect. We are not in a position to offer a definitive statement on this matter, as the variations of sin are as boundless as are the ways in which one might be sinful. Now, that's a neat body swear, isn't it? Not in a position to offer a definition. So I looked at other ones, a good Oxford and so on, a mistake, an offence against religious or moral law, an action that is or is felt to be highly reprehensible, an often serious shortcoming. So the reason why the commandment is there from the words from the Saviour himself is because of this thing which is upon us, sin. Now, if you've been coming to the Gospel Hall or hearing any gospel preacher, you will say, they seem obsessed with sin. What's going on here? Why are we talking so much about sin when the dictionary tells us it's a mistake? It's an offence against moral law. Well, the Bible says, it gives a translation, a definition, which is, sin is a transgression of the law. You might say that's quite obvious. Sin is a transgression of the law. God's law. The commandments that God has given, we have failed to keep. I don't necessarily want to elaborate on that, because I can see you're intelligent people, and you know. And if you don't know, you should know. That you've sinned. You've transgressed God's law. We've all done that. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Interesting phrase, the glory of God, which would be worth pursuing in another environment. So we've all sinned, and because of that, you know, old John Bunyan, didn't he speak about the load on Christian's back as he went and he came to the cross and the burden went. And that's what it should be like, but so often it's not. The Bible speaks about rolling sin under the tongue and enjoying it. And people do. And we would be foolish to say there are no pleasures in some sinful actions, because there undoubtedly is. A lot of people wouldn't do it. The idea is the archer on the target. He pulls back his bowstring and he lets fly the arrow and he misses. He's sinned. He tries again, he gets a bullseye, that's it. Can I say that we've all missed a bullseye. In our life, we are coarsened by what we see around us. We become accustomed to sin, and we used to talk about living in sin, when a couple lived together and they weren't married. You'd probably get to jail if you said that these days. But a lie, a theft, a wrong thought about God, about not putting him first in your life. We don't need to go any further. That is sin. And we need to turn from that. And we need to face in completely the opposite direction. And that is what's necessary so that we might begin the journey to believing. Two things here, isn't there? There's a repentance required and then there's a belief. Believe, well, this lady that I spoke to you about who wanted baptism didn't understand what belief was about. She was always a believer, always a Christian. She didn't understand that it's something quite different. It's a word which is deprived from faith, meaning to be persuaded that this is the correct way. I might have given this illustration before here, and if I have, I don't really want to flatter myself. You will believe, you'll remember all my little stories, but I spent 3 years of my teenage years in Gibraltar. I went to the grammar school there and was taught by Christian brothers. And the headmaster was called Brother Darcy. And between you and me, he had a massive chin that always needed to be shaved, it seems. So behind his back, we called him Hippo. Anyway, Hippo called me over one day and he said, Monroe, he said that he knew that we weren't Roman Catholics. He knew that we went to the little gospel hall at Ragged Staff down at the port there. He says, Monroe, it's Rabbi Burns Day. Does your family believe in Rabbi Burns? I said, oh, yes, sir. So he looked at me and off he went. I went home and I said to my father, a strange conversation with Hippo today. He said, if we believe in, do we believe in Rabbi Burns Day? And my dad said, and what did you say? I said, well, I said, yes. I said, because it's on the calendar. What Hippo was asking was, did we have this sort of belief that we should recognize Rabbi Burns Day? Did we address the haggis? Did we have a keli? Did we have all that sort of thing? That was the belief he was talking about, not the fact that it was on the calendar. January, what is it, 10th? No, not 10th, whatever. And this believing is more than just saying, I believe the Bible from Genesis 1 to Revelation chapter 22. I hope you do. It'd be good if you did. But it's more than that. That will never save you. You know what the Bible says about the demons? It says they believe and tremble. Well, what sort of belief do they have? Certainly not a belief in the salvation which is offered. There was a man in the New Testament, and he had some trouble, and he came to the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus dealt with him and so on, and in love, grace. And the man said a strange thing. He says, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Well, did the man believe or didn't he believe? Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Well, maybe this is a word for Christians too. That we can have different beliefs if we're not careful. And the man was saying, yes, no, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you are the Christ, that you are the Messiah. But I need that deeper understanding and belief and faith and confidence in you. And he was asking for help. And so, that's what's needed. This confidence, heart's confidence in Christ and in the gospel, for that's our last word. The gospel is the good news. That simply means good news. And the good news is that the Lord Jesus Christ came when there was none to help. We'd all been out of the way, the Bible says. Lord Jesus came out from the eternal day. surrounded by angelic beings which were singing his praises, and looked and saw something of his character and cried, "Holy, holy, holy." And again they looked and they saw another attribute and perfection that perhaps had missed before, and they cried, "Holy, holy, holy." And the eternal Son of God, who lived in that indescribable light, came into Bethlehem's manger. The Bible says so beautifully, wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. The Creator God. Heaven of heavens, Solomon would say, cannot contain thee. How then can thou dwell on earth? And he knew that God was going to take up his place in the temple that he had built. But he exclaimed, how can you come on to earth? And the wonder of it is that we look into Bethlehem's manger and we see the eternal Son of the eternal God wrapped in swaddling clothes. Growing up perfect, we haven't time to describe the great life. You'll know it. The miracles that he performed, the wonderful things he did, feeding of the 5,000, the stilling of the storm, the raising of the dead, all done under his own power and might. And you would think that they would take this one and treat him reverently and lovingly. And they took him and without exception, crucify him, crucify him. We will not have this to reign over us. And they took the blessed Son of God, those hands that had only dealt in kindness and in love and in power, and they nailed him to a tree. Crown of thorns upon his head in mockery. In prophetic language it says that he was made the song of the drunkard. Can you imagine? I don't know what the angelic beings were thinking when they looked down and saw this. Surely they had to be held at bay as they looked down and saw the one of their adoration treated so. But it was so that you might come into the good of salvation. It was because of his shed blood. It was because of his death that was necessary so that you could come into a relationship with God, so that you might repent, so that you might believe, and you might accept the gospel. The gospel, not good, just good news, the good news. And he's still standing with open arms, seeking to welcome the dear soul who in simple faith and trust will come and put their heart's confidence in Christ. May God bless his word to us, and shall we pray.
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.